You are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you're interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support. So, everybody knows I don't know a heck of a lot about anime. Outside of Hayao Miyazaki stuff, I really don't know what's going on, and maybe Akira, but I do know a little bit about this, right? Because Hayao Miyazaki made The Castle of Cagliostro, which was an entry in this incredibly, almost absurdly long-running series of movies and television shows back in 1979. Hell, I used to play the video game adaptation of it that they Dragon Laired it out in arcades when I was a teenager. But Lupin, based on a French character who was a detective, and the idea is that he's the grandson of that character, even though he's Japanese. It was originally created as sort of a one-off idea by this guy who goes by Monkey Punch, and it got so insanely popular, there's a point you just roll with it. You're like, okay, I guess this is what I'm going to be known for now, as long as the checks keep running in. Here we are all these years later with the first 3D CG version of Lupin, a rather expensive adaptation too that's being released worldwide, Lupin 3, the first. To all reports, the first means it's the first one done since Monkey Punch died. So it's a new era. We don't have to stick to that guy's rules anymore. We're gonna have Lupin do all sorts of crazy shit and no more rape. That's what we're promising.
We're gonna make him less creepy.
Some of my buddies here to discuss this with me, I've got Spider Mike.
Howdy, howdy.
I've got Doggett. I've got the Bradley Martin.
Hello!
The Bradley Martin?
Yeah, that's his thing now. He's the Bradley
not
Martin.
Not knockoff Bradley Martin, the one you get after the flea market?
Not exactly.
The select Bradley Martin.
Daddy Bradley.
Great value Bradley Martin.
Daddy Braddy.
He killed all the other ones.
He's still trying. It's a work in process. I'm helping him with that. Did I say that on mic? We can edit that
that's
out
fine.
Afterwards.
It's an implication. Yeah.
No, I like that it's a warning to all the other Bradley Martins out there. Leave it in.
We're coming for you.
Lupin 3, the first, and this is from someone who's seen very little of the other stuff, and there's a lot out there, and I just discovered after watching this, a lot of it is available for streaming. Like, Amazon Prime has, like, the first couple seasons that they ever released of the show, if you're interested. But the character has much longer legs than almost anybody I can think of, except for maybe James Bond, and there's certainly a lot of Bondisms in this, and even more Raiders of the Lost Ark. Holy shit, there's a ton of Indiana Jones in this thing. This particular episode, it's Nazi-occupied France. It also centers around this sort of diary that's locked in this intricate mechanism that will destroy it if you try and open it wrong, and all these people who are trying to get it, including Lupin, who is a professional thief. He's a super thief, and we love super thieves, right?
You know,
we hate the smash and grabbers, but if you're a super thief, you're cool.
He tries to smash and grab, but it doesn't work out too well for him.
Turns out there's multiple people looking for this thing, including some Nazis, including, like, granddaughter of a guy who she doesn't know is a Nazi, but somebody who's looking for this thing becomes sort of like the love interest-ish.
Question mark?
Sort of. Question mark. I mean, they never really go there, but he's...
They tease it here and there, but yeah.
It's a voyage as they're all trying to first get the diary, and then once they have the diary, figure out how to, like, use these notes to find this ultimate treasure, which is, of course, actually the ultimate weapon. It's Raiders of the Lost Ark, I'm telling you. Like, with little bits of The Last Crusade thrown in.
Oh yeah, absolutely. The whole diary for a test, it's so goddamn...
That being said, I really enjoyed the shit out of this thing. It's got this great jazzy soundtrack. Yeah, let's go, Lupin. All right. You know, like, yeah, I'm kind of into this. I thought the animation was just gorgeous. It was really funny. Sure, it's derivative as hell, but they haven't made a 3D CG Indiana Jones. Fuck it. I'll take Lupin.
This felt like three episodes of the anime remastered. There's nothing wrong with that. The anime is really good. I've only ever watched five episodes. So maybe my reference point isn't as good as everyone else's. And I will also say, I'm really happy that these anime films finally got to Tintin animation level.
The only thing that Japan loves more than Dragon Ball is Lupin the Third. And it's very obvious in the fact that they were willing to spend this much money on what is very clearly would have been any normal anime film. It's very much the show, except there's like a twist here and there. Like the twist in this is that him and the inspector decide to work together. But it's so incredibly made, though, that you just sort of forgive the very normal plot it has.
It's a familiar plot, but it's also the type of thing that lends itself to being visually really fun. This is, like, brightly colorful, and there's, like, caverns with scientific traps and all sorts of cool shit going on. I'm like, yeah, all right.
Well, every Lupin adventure, you know, needs a heist, a car chase, some other form of wacky chase, and the Thief with the Heart of Gold sequence, and this film has all of that in spades. It is like ticking off boxes, but I love those boxes, and I love this character, you know, when he checks them off, and he talks with his hands, he's very frenetic, everything is always in motion. That's the thing about this animation, you know, if you watch season one episode of Lupin, it had the most motion for its time.
Yeah.
But seeing it evolve this way into, this is a great side-by-side with Rin Tin Tin, by the way. Or I'm sorry, Tintin, not Rin Tin Tin. That's a that's whole different dog. Whole different dog, yes.
This is 23 years, I think, since the last actual theatrical Lupin.
It's been quite some time.
Didn't they do a live-action one?
Yeah, that was really hated across the board, apparently.
Yes, yes it was.
There were two live-actions, yeah, in fact.
Yeah, they weren't very well regarded.
Yeah, we're not well thought of. But this is so, it wants to feel like a reward to Lupin fans and to be a great introduction to new fans. Because, like I said, I know very little about this. Most of it comes from the Hayao Miyazaki film. This even pulls back elements from that are iconic that I always assumed were there all the way through, but apparently were not. Like, in here, they bring back the famous yellow Fiat 500 car, which is featured quite prominently in Cagliostro. I thought that was always there. Apparently not. No. That was kind of specific to that movie. That's an homage specifically to that film, which is considered one of the very high points.
Well, Cagliostro had the best car chase sequence.
It does. Yes. Record.
I really enjoyed this movie. It was a treat to watch this. It's a privilege to review it. I guess it comes down to, I don't like Lupin, the character. I like him the most in this movie, out of anything I've ever seen him in. But it's like cleaning up an old-timey character. It's like, I know you're going for charming, but I want to kick you over a ledge.
Yeah, Lupin is an acquired taste.
I mean, he's got that thing that's going to drive some people crazy, which is like he is a snarky know-it-all that still manages to get away with his shit every single time.
So, like,
and that drives a lot of people crazy. And maybe it's because he's a cartoon character, because that sort of thing normally does bug me. But here I'm like, yeah, I really like him.
I'm always rooting for the inspector.
The inspector should have died of a heart attack by now. I mean, that guy must have super high blood pressure.
He just desperately wants to catch that guy.
He gets so stressed out about it. You're like, there's no way he'd still be alive.
Well, he uses the handcuffs like a whip. What do you guys think of that? It's so silly and anime.
It was amazing.
Swinging him around. Yeah.
I do like the idea that he's just in love with Lupin. That would be the thing. They end up together and you're like, why didn't you just say something?
That would be amazing. I'd be all for it.
Bradley? That's what it is. You mentioned the handcuffs. I wanted more scenes like that. Like, I wanted scenes like him getting through the laser field, and he's maneuvering around that, and like it ends with this like beautiful picture. It's like, oh, that's gonna be on every weeb's wall for the next 5 years.
It is, yes.
It really just comes down to I am spoiled, and I wanted more. Like, what's his name? Samurai dude.
Goemon.
What's his big moment? He slices up in a plane. I see him do that in the opening of the anime every time.
He's OP as hell, Goemon. That dude's always been, well, his entire team has always been fairly OP in, like,
yeah,
compared to anybody else in anime. There's a sequence very early on where they have to save Lupin from, because he got arrested by the inspector, and fucking Daisuke shoots off the screws to, like, the signs above him with, like, no effort.
But he's got a beard and a cigarette, so it makes sense.
Jigen, Goemon, and then Fujiko, who is given the least of anything interesting to do here except heave her breasts meaningfully at the screen.
That's what she was made for.
But you kind of expected better now.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, like, those characters are interesting, but I would have liked more with them as well. I don't disagree with you, Danny. You like, especially the samurai dude, Goemon, you're like, you've got the sword that Wolverine's Enemy in Japan and that classic Chris Claremont run had, you know, that can slice through anything. And I'm like, I kind of want to see more with that.
Or the gun dude should have had like a John Wick scene or something. You have the animation money. You could do this for me. You don't just got to give me like beautiful landscapes all the time.
Well, you got to have it PG too. He's not going to shoot someone in the face.
He's right. I would have loved if the scene had entered like they're going, what are we going to do? It's totally locked down. And the next scene, you just start hearing the music Spy Break start. You know, boom, down, 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 down. He walks in there and just starts killing everyone. And you're like, well, there was a back door.
Yeah, the thing about the Lupin team is they've always sort of worked more like a Mission Impossible team. They just sort of do what they need to do. And there's a lot of stuff that's very similar to the Mission Impossible like stuff, especially Lupin has a lot of disguises in this. His last disguise in this movie caught me the fuck off guard, but made me laugh so hard.
Why don't you keep going into your final thoughts, Mike?
This movie's amazing. They worked really, really hard to make this probably one of the best 3D CG things that come out of Japan. Whenever they make an anime movie, a lot of times it's either half-assed or there's clearly not a lot of budget into it, but there's so much love in every piece of detail. Like, every time you look at Lupin or any of the other characters, you're like, these people are incredibly detailed. Like, you can tell they cut some corners here and there for, like, background stuff, but everything is used so dynamically in these amazing action shots. Everyone is so animated, giving them more personality, like Lupin, the way he just sort of contorts the inspector and how ragey he gets. Fujiko, she gets only like a handful of things here and there. But she's still very much her character. Everybody in the movie is still very much their character. The English voice cast is the original 2000 dub cast. So they've been doing this for a very long time. And so those specific actors, they're still really, really good at it. The cast for the Japanese one is also really good. I adore this film. I can't wait to watch it again. I want to buy it on Blu-ray so I can have a super nice, gorgeous version of it, and I would have to give it 9.5 out of 10 times the inspector was just yelling at Lupin.
And for the record, this is coming out on Blu-ray pretty shortly. I've already gotten a notification about it. Like, hey, do you want it on Blu-ray? I was like, well, I just watched it, so yes.
What, you're going to give Michael your Blu-ray?
I definitely did not say that.
Michael, did you hear that? It's a Christmas miracle.
All right, wise guy, Doggett, let's hear what you had to say for your final thoughts.
Ah, damn it. Oh.
See what you get?
I hate doing this, especially since the last few reviews I've done, I've kind of defended a lot of shit. So, I don't want to seem contrarian right now. But this was a really, 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 really good movie. This just never got great to me. And really, that just comes down to nitpicks and just my general not much interest in the character. Honestly, I'll probably watch Tintin before I watch this, but I will watch it afterwards because that's a great double feature. This is a great family movie. This is something for everybody to watch together. Your parents, they've probably seen Lupin also, so watch it with them. Happy Halloween, everybody. I'm going to give this 7.5. Kimiko being a cold-hearted bastard. I love that. Out of 10.
Danny, you should be like a horror host or something. Happy Halloween, everybody. Brad.
Big fan. Love anime. As you were saying earlier, there's like a lot of foundations to how anime is now. Giant robots, Goku punching people really hard, and then learning by looking into himself that he can punch people even harder. And Lupin the Third, if you guys, anybody listening out there likes Cowboy Bebop, like Samurai Champloo, Furikuri, this is for you. This is where all that stuff originated, and this is the people that are inspired by Monkey Punch to create those legendary animes. And I always recommend Lupin. It's such a charming as hell character, and the heisting is so fun. And this was before, you know, heisting became, no way, we can't possibly do that. I got a guy. And then, you know, we have to watch the montage about that. What does he always say, Doug? It's so, you son of a bitch, I'm in. And this heist actually matters. Oh, and the origin of his grandfather. They rarely call back to that. Not necessarily the origin, but it was so cute and fun. Great family movie. You know, Spielberg raved about that castle of, I forget the name of the castle. And that's why I saw it, because Spielberg was like, oh, this Miyazaki guy, keep an eye out for him. This was like 2 decades ago, of course. And I loved it. I loved everything about it. Green Jacket Lupin, Red Jacket Lupin. I'm totally biased, so I'm going to give this one 8 crazy locks on 10 safes that aren't impenetrable when a master thief is knocking on them.
Fun fact, the inspector's new voice is the original Japanese voice actor for Spike Spiegel from Cowboy Bebop, actually.
Interesting.
That's beautiful. I love that.
As I said, I know very little about anime. Only thing I really knew about this was the previous Miyazaki film, and it's been a long time since I've watched that. But nonetheless, I was excited about this, A, because I was aware that this character has such a huge history in Japan, just wasn't familiar with it, always meant to check it out, just never got around to it. And B, Japan really has barely fucked around with 3D CGI content at all for animated films. This is a nascent field for them, and when I saw the trailer for this, I went, wow, this looks so much better than I would have expected. They are jumping into the field rather aggressively and quite more than competently with this, certainly more competent than I think the Hong Kong film industry did with the same thing. Man, they've been doing 3D CGI films over there for 5 years, and they still kind of aren't great. This is great. I would put this up against any American 3D CGI film in terms of quality of the animation. Now, it is brought down a little bit by the fact that, like I said, there's some stuff that wouldn't work as well here. I think especially, like I said, the big booby characters, like, oh, it's 2020. You can't get away with that stuff the same way you used to do, I guess. And you can't help but notice it. And also, like I said, it just blatantly rips off Raiders of the Lost Ark left and right. It's shameless. I kept thinking about it and I'd be briefly annoyed, and then I'd laugh because I'm like, why do I even care?
I have expected them to say only the penitent man can pass when they got to that hallway.
Exactly. He chose poorly. Even above and beyond all that stuff, this thing moves so fast. It's so much fun. The animation is just jaw-droppingly gorgeous. The score is perfect for this. I kept thinking of like the French OSS movies. It's like this fun, jazzy take. This is terrific. I'm going to give this 8 out of 10 copies of this movie that Dennis Moore stole from the poor and gave to the rich. And I know no one is going to get that reference, but someone out there someday will. And when they do, they'll win a new car.
Maybe I'm just ignorant. Does anime not mention Nazis a lot? Because this is like one of the few times I've noticed it. Like, oh shit, you're talking about Nazis.
No, they mention it a lot. Just watch JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. There's an entire Nazi subplot.
So many Nazi arcs.
Comes up a lot, much like giant irradiated things.
Yes,
only things. Nazis could bring Lupin and Pops together to fight for the same side, though. So
it's like the Rocketeer. Oh my god, another thing it ripped off.